And we'll call the final case of the morning, U.S. versus Allen, 09-2600. Mr. Anderson.
May it please the Court, I'm Kent Anderson with the Federal Defender's Office of the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant Neil Allen. In this case, Mr. Allen lied about his educational and employment background, and this ultimately led Ms. LeCount, the attorney for the Lac du Flambeau, a band of the Chippewa tribe, to retain Mr. Allen's company to test homes on the tribe's reservation for mold. And ultimately, as a result of the misrepresentations, Mr. Allen was charged with and convicted of mail fraud. However, he did perform the services that he was contracted to do. Therefore, he argued that he shouldn't owe restitution to the LDF because they got what they paid for. At the original sentencing hearing, the district court declined to decide that issue, and then a different panel of this court remanded the case to the district court in order for it to decide that issue and subtract the value of Mr. Allen's services from the restitution award. On remand, the court credited Mr. Allen for some costs, but it found that the actual samples that he took and the tests analyzing those samples were worthless. His findings clearly erroneous because at least some of the tests were worthwhile. The American Industrial Hygiene Association, for example, states that sampling for mold may be needed when health concerns are an issue, litigation is involved, or the source of the contamination isn't clear, but mold isn't visible.
Well, you will concede, won't you, that the air testing was of no value to the 60 homes where the residents had reported there was mold in the CHA surveys?
Actually, we don't know that because it was at least valuable of the 102 homes that Mr. Allen was able to review the tests before the second restitution hearing. We don't know if those 60 were included in the 102 or not. But out of those 102, in 29 of those homes, there was visible mold in part of the homes, but there was also significant concentrations of mold that the testing revealed in other parts of the homes where there was no visible mold. So we don't know if that was the case with the 60 or not. There's not enough evidence in the record to necessarily say that. Now, the other 72 of those 102 homes, there was no visible mold, and yet the testing showed high concentrations of mold. And, of course, was those 60 that Ms. LeCount initially wanted tested to begin with. So she determined that the testing would be valuable for litigation purposes. She may have been wrong, but Mr. Allen's not an attorney. He can't argue with her, and don't know, frankly, I don't know whether she was right or wrong about that, but that was her conclusion, and that's why she wanted those homes tested. There's a dispute over who recommended the remaining testing or who recommended that Aerotech do the tests of the samples, but she at least wanted that done.
Well, there was no inspection of all the residences, was there? Visual inspection is what I'm talking about, because there are problems with this air testing.
Apparently there was, since the government conceded that the visual inspection was worthwhile and that was worth about $30,000.
And you're not challenging the district court's $30,000 valuation for Allen's visual inspection services, right?
No, that was not challenged below, so certainly not going to attempt to challenge it now. However, there was, in addition to the litigation aspect, certainly the possibility of health concerns. The government's expert said he wasn't aware of any upper respiratory diseases caused by mold. And as a technical matter, that may be correct. However, the Institute of Medicine found evidence of an association between mold or other agents in damp indoor environments and upper respiratory tract symptoms, coughing, pneumonia, things like that. And most people, you know, they hear, hey, there's an association between these. They're going to want to try to eliminate the mold and not take a chance, even if that association doesn't rise to, say, the level of the Surgeon General's conclusion that smoking causes lung cancer. In addition, the American Industrial Hygiene Association again states that mold can cause allergic reactions and flu-like symptoms, and people with weakened immune systems are at greater danger. We know there were several of those people on the reservation. We don't know exactly how many. So the government may very well be able to show that testing of some of the homes was worthless, but the court's finding that testing of all of the homes was worthless was clearly erroneous. In addition, getting back to LDF's request for the testing, that should make necessity somewhat irrelevant, at least with respect to those homes, because, you know, if they wanted it, well, people often buy things that aren't necessarily necessary, but buyer's remorse isn't the reason for them later to get their money back.
But here, you know, there are multiple states' public health departments have found that this air testing is not a reliable method of mold.
Well, they didn't necessarily find that it wasn't a reliable method. They found that it was, many of them thought that in most circumstances it wasn't necessary, that it didn't add anything to.
Right, and there are no established standards for when mold levels are dangerous.
That's
so hard
right.
to measure results, and
that is correct.
It's very expensive.
Unfortunately, no established standards for how much is dangerous. It, as Mr. Schwartz testified, it kind of goes by experience, and if the mold level is, say, 100 times higher than it is outside, might be something to worry about. I mean, I'm just throwing that figure out as a hypothetical. I don't know that it has to go to 100 times, but certainly significantly higher than what it would be outside.
Counsel, the government pointed out that it thinks the district court made an error in calculating the restitution award it made, that they subtracted $71,000 owed to Aerotech from the $238,000 owned to Lac du Flambeau, and that that shouldn't have been done, and it needs to be recalculated. Do you have any comment about that?
Well, unfortunately, I have to concede that the government is correct on
yes,
that point.
Yes, thank you.
You want to save some time for rebuttal, Mr. Anders?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Jarosz?
Please, the court, I have not argued for the Supreme Court, but I am from Arizona, actually one of the few people that were actually born there, and before moving to Wisconsin, practiced publicly and privately there. I'm a member of the Inn of Court named after the judge, or Justice O'Connor. But let me just begin this argument by simply saying
And you moved here, and you lived in Arizona?
I was transferred, to Wisconsin because of my wife's job.
Okay. Okay.
I get asked that question.
Yeah, I bet.
Almost daily. But in any event, the question here is not whether mold causes problems. That's what the defendant was trying to create here, whether it is a health risk. The question is whether the testing that was conducted by Mr. Allen was useful to the tribe. And just like a bicycle, if you will, is not useful to a fish, this testing wasn't useful to the tribe because it wasn't necessary. It revealed nothing. If mold was visible, and of the 400 surveys that were returned, or 400 surveys sent to the homes, 66 were returned. 60 of the homes reported visible mold. Just go in there, you remove it, find out what the cause is, fix that cause, and that's the end of the story. In some limited cases, Dan Felt, the expert for the government that testified, one of the four experts consulted, said there can be limited situations where you would do air testing. So, for example, after remediation was done, you might want to test and see, well, what's the mold? Even though there are no standards, it would be difficult to say, well, is this high or low, even though the defendant's saying, well, those concentrations were very high. High to what? As Mr. Felt testified at the hearing, when somebody says, how high, what does that mean? If there's no standard, how high doesn't make any sense. Or you might want to have it if the if a doctor or physician orders it in relationship to a health concern of a person that's diagnosed as having a mold-related illness, and then they want to know what's going on. There was no physician here. What Mr. Allen did was went up to the tribe, pitched to them, saying, look it, I'll test all the homes, and this is going to be the cost, and sold them the exact test for every home. And basically, as the judge determined below, he sold them a bill of goods. The idea that the defendant can come up here and say and argue that, well, they got what they bargained for, you know, who's to argue the adequacy consideration or what anybody wants in a contract, it really goes to the heart of a fraud. So I guess if the fraud is really good and the victim really wants it, then there's no loss. All he's arguing is that the fraud was that good. And it was good. They got taken. And the testing that was performed was just simply of no value. We consulted four experts. They had the right to cross-examine. They hired their own expert. The judge listened to both sides. It was gone back and forth. And the judge made the determination. Look, according to the defense, or the government's expert, rather, the only value occurred from perhaps Mr. Allen's visual inspection of these homes, and we gave him the benefit of the doubt. We said, well, let's assume he went to every home, and he spent an hour at every home, and we gave him $75 an hour for doing it, and we came up with $30,000. We said, well, that would be the minimal value of what he performed. And that's how they calculated it. And unfortunately, as Justice O'Connor pointed out, there's a mistranscription. The court issued an order after we moved under Rule 36 to try to get that corrected. Under McHugh, the district court said we don't really have the jurisdiction to correct that, so they put it for this court. And under this court's decision under Albury, it has the ability to instruct the court to make this.
Going back to the previous issue, what should we make of the fact that LDF's attorney, Ms. LaConte, specifically requested that Allen conduct air testing?
Well, she instructed it based upon his recommendation, and you can see that in the exhibits attached at that were entered in the hearing and her own testimony. She testified specifically that Mr. Allen is the one that recommended testing all the homes. The tribe reaffirmed that because at that point the fraud was already taking place, and it's just a fact in the record. It is indeed, I cited in my brief, that she specifically said we did it on the basis of Mr. Allen's recommendation. And so that really is not an issue under dispute. It only, again, reflects somebody who was taken in by a fraud. And if the court has no other questions, then I am done.
Thank you, Mr. DeRose. Mr. Anderson, 2 minutes.
Getting as far as the necessity or usefulness of the test, and once again, probably go back to probably the best evidence is the 102 tests that were reviewed prior to the second restitution hearing, and all of those, whether there was mold visible or not, showed mold. Was it the best test for it, or would another one have been better? We don't know, but the test did accomplish something. And in addition, Ms. LeCount thought that she needed to know the type of mold that was present in order for litigation, not just whether there was mold present. And just eyeballing the mold can't necessarily tell what type it is. In addition, she wanted the testing of at least these 60 homes where people returned the surveys and said they had mold prior to Mr. Allen ever becoming involved. So Mr. Allen can certainly be faulted for lying on his resume, but he can't be faulted for selling the tribe what it wanted. Therefore, this court should reverse Mr. Allen's restitution order and remand his case to the district court again in order for it to properly determine how much, if any, restitution Mr. Allen owes to the tribe. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, counsel. We thank you for your arguments this morning and the fine briefs that you filed. We'll take this case under advisement. Court will stand in recess till tomorrow morning for our en banc sitting.